Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And by the way, right now we have got a Facebook live stream of what's going on in our studio going on. So if you want to check it out and see me wave hello to you, go to facebook.com/WBUR to check out our Facebook live stream. Okay, so it is the beginning of the afternoon commute now. And on this beautiful sunny day, or at least it was before I stepped into the studio at 3 o'clock, we're going to talk about how being in your car and stuck in traffic like you may be right now, I'm sorry to say it, but it might be very bad for your health. Kerry Goldberg is editor of WBUR's Common Health blog, and she reported on the health effects of traffic in WBUR's special series, Driving Us Crazy, and she joins us now. Good to see you again, Kerry.
You too, Meghna.
Okay, so just how bad is commuting for your health? I mean, you and I have talked before about how sitting might be the new smoking. Is commuting the new smoking?
So the short answer is no.
It would
be nice if it
were on the show today.
Right. But I mean, that would be a very grabby way to put it. But we don't get to be that grabby, actually. I mean, for a little perspective, smoking is horrible for you. Like, it multiplies your risk of lung cancer by something like 25 times. It doubles or up to quadruples your risk of heart disease and stroke. So, you know, it's really bad. Whereas long car commutes, they tend to raise your risk of various health troubles by maybe like a few percentage points. So it's not a huge effect. But that said, I have to say that I really have been amazed by how long the list is of the potential health harms from long car commutes.
Okay, potential health harms. So give us a sample of that list.
Okay, it's long. Ready? Here we go. Having a longer car commute could lead to more depression and anxiety, more social isolation, higher weight, you could get fatter, lower life satisfaction and happiness, you just feel worse about your life, less sleep, less exercise, so lower fitness, higher cholesterol, higher blood sugar, higher blood pressure, more back and neck aches. One Swedish study even found that people who commute more than 45 minutes each way are 40% likelier to get a divorce.
Wow. Okay. And that was just a taste of some of the health effects?
Actually, that was most of
it. Okay, that was most of it. I'm rethinking ever stepping into a car again. But in your story this morning on Morning Edition, you actually featured a Massachusetts commuter, who's really a textbook example of these possible negative health effects.
Yes, although she didn't have all of them, but she did have many. Her name is Barbara Huntress Rather, and 4 years ago, she took this great new job in healthcare that was fantastic, except for one thing, which was that she had to commute from Lawrence to Lynn, and it would take her at least an hour, sometimes longer. And very soon, she started to experience these really significant impacts on her health. She gained back 40 pounds that she'd lost. She developed lower back pain and high blood pressure. And at first, you know, she blamed herself for eating too much and not working out.
One turning point for me was when I saw my nurse practitioner and she told me I needed to start blood pressure medication. I immediately made the connection with not working out, spending endless hours in the car, and feeling totally stressed most of the time. I was either commuting or worrying about commuting.
So she connected those dots, yeah. And I think her story really perfectly captures how these long car commutes, they don't just suck up our time, they may also suck up our energy, which then has health effects because when we're feeling exhausted, that leads us to less healthy behaviors. Here's a little more from her.
The commute, sometimes 3 hours a day, left me with feeling like I didn't have any life. I would get home so worn out from, you know, doing a full day's work and then the commute, that some evenings I wouldn't feel like cooking, so I wouldn't eat anything like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for dinner sometimes, and sit and binge watch reruns of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette because I had no brain cells left to do anything else.
So, Meghna, like, what could be worse for you? Bachelorette reruns, right?
Although, look, I binge watch TV shows and I don't have a terrible commute. So maybe I'm going to be a little more understanding of her. But I take your point, Kerry.
Yes, yes.
But I understand that that these commutes, these long commutes and ever longer commutes tied up in a lot of slow moving traffic may harm health, and particularly that cardiovascular health is a major concern.
Right. Heart health. And in several ways, via several pathways.
Okay. So, Kerry, hang in here for just a second because we've got an expert about exactly exactly this particular issue. Also with us, he's Dr. Jonathan Levy. He's a professor of environmental health at the Boston University School of Public Health, with a particular focus on air pollution and health. So, Dr. Levy, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So, first of all, pick up where Carrie left off. How might these long commutes be hurting or affecting cardiovascular or heart health?
So there's at least three ways that there could be an effect. I think Carrie alluded to the lack of exercise. And studies have shown that when you car commute, you have less time to do exercise. People who use public transit also tend to walk more because you have to go from place to place. The train doesn't take you every location. So you get more exercise. That's better for your heart. Stress is a major issue, commuting, and that, we all know, is an important cardiovascular risk factor for hypertension, high blood pressure, and also air pollution. And when you spend time in your car, you're close to a lot of traffic-related air pollutants, and air pollution we tend to think of as affecting the lungs and the respiratory system, but there's a lot of evidence showing that it affects the heart as well.
I see. So that means, so this is air pollution vis-a-vis not just the fact that you're surrounded by so many other automobiles, but people often have to drive through tunnels where are these pollutants and particulates even more highly concentrated?
Yeah, the air pollution amplifies in tunnels. They can't distribute out. But even along major roadways, on highways, and highly trafficked corridors, a lot of these traffic-related air pollutants, very small particles, can build up to very high levels where 100, 200, 300 meters further away, you don't have nearly the same level of exposure.
Right. You know, all this week, a recurring theme that's been coming up in this series driving us crazy is that one of the solutions to all the traffic problems is, of course, helping people get out of their cars, right? And that includes it potentially being a solution for these health issues that we're talking about. And I understand, Dr. Levy, that a couple years ago you worked on a health impact assessment that sort of calculated what the health costs might be if the MBTA or for certain service cuts that the MBTA was planning?
Right. So back in 2012, the MBTA was proposing some fairly large fare increases and service reductions. And so we and colleagues at Harvard and the Metropolitan Area Planning Council looked at what that might do to health and to people's pocketbooks. Because if you spend more time in your car, you're wasting time. Time is money. You're wasting gas. Gas, of course, costs money. And then there's all the effects on health. And so we quantified a variety of things, the air pollution pathway, car accident risks, lack of exercise. And we actually put a dollar value to each of those. And it turned out that the economic costs of reducing our availability of public transit outweighed the amount of money the MBTA was trying to save.
And Meghna, what I loved about this is that it brought health into the equation for
right.
this policy decision that seemed to be mostly about money, but it seems like it's something we can do on a personal level as well. Like, what will the health effects be for us?
Okay. Do we have the flip side or the reverse of that health assessment calculation? Like, have we ever done an analysis that, say, we were able to successfully expand transit services? How much money would that save overall in comparison to the cost of the expansion?
Yeah, people have looked at that. In this field of health impact assessment, which broadly tries to bring health into the equation where we usually don't think about it, increasingly people have looked at expanded public transit, walkability, bike lanes, a whole host of other measures that could have these positive ripple effects.
And specifically, what about, you know, lower socioeconomic neighborhoods? I mean, because they get higher impact when it comes to virtually any issue that we're talking about. This must be true of, is it true of traffic as well?
Yeah, no, it's true. You have a lot of vulnerable individuals. Asthmatics are affected by air pollution. You have higher asthma rates in a lot of low-income populations, higher rates of hypertension. So a lot of individuals who may be more vulnerable to these diseases and may also have higher exposures if you're in a concentrated urban area.
I see. You know, I sympathize with the many people who may not necessarily enjoy their commute, but also don't have the option of moving closer to where they work. I mean, that's also an issue, getting workplaces closer to where people live. And until we reach that kind of lovely balance, Carrie, on Common Health Today, you've got some tips for people about how to do good things for their health while while still having that commute, right?
Yes, we do have some tips. One really simple one that I learned in the course of this reporting was that when you're going through a tunnel where you have those high concentrations of air pollution, you might want to roll up your windows and turn off your vents and turn on your air conditioner to not get as much air from the outside. Another particularly good tip we had came from Dr. Eddie Phillips. He's the director of Harvard Medical School's Institute of Lifestyle Medicine. And he says he tells patients to try to have more active commutes. But if you're saddled with a long car commute, you can try to set up what's called a hybrid commute.
I'm not talking about driving a hybrid. I'm talking about combining driving to mass transit or parking a little further from your office, maybe in a cheaper spot. Pick up some extra steps in the morning, and you got to get back to your car in the afternoon.
So I thought, you know, that's a useful perspective that it's not that your car commute is likely to kill you unless you're in an accident, as you were talking about before. But if you're aware that it adds some risks, then you can at least try to offset them, like with this idea of a hybrid commute.
Right. Well, be a little multimodal if you can, even on your commute.
Right. Good
tip.
Mix it up.
Well, Carrie Goldberg, editor of WBUR's Common Health blog, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
And Dr. Jonathan Levy, professor of environmental health at Boston University's School of Public Health. Pleasure to have you as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
And by the way, tomorrow on Morning Edition, WBUR's Bruce Gellerman talks to us about autonomous vehicles and their role in solving our commuting woes. And on Radio Boston, we'll pick up that conversation with some experts who are working with Ford, Google, and Uber. We'll also talk to transportation pioneer Robin Chase. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.